Welcome to Torah Dimecha Parsha. My name is Adina Shmimin. Join us for Pesach Ideas and Inspiration this Wednesday night, March 22nd at 8 p.m. Eastern for Seder Sparks, Making Magid More Meaningful for Your Children with Mrs. Sharon Richter, and Thursday, March 23rd at noon Eastern for Rosh Chodesh Nisan Lunch and Learn with Mrs. Beruya Siegel. Sign up at ou.org/women/Pesach23. And now for this week's Parsha.
Welcome to Torah Dimecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Parshas Vayikra. Parshas Vayikra is the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, which is a complex sefer filled with halachos, many of which don't seem to relate to us at all. There are halachos that involve the Beis HaMikdash, halachos that involve the Kohanim, and all these halachos can seem very foreign and dense for us to learn through. So my goal, as we learn Sefer Vayikra, and in each Parsha, is to understand the relevance of those halachos to our lives. The Torah is filled with mitzvos. In fact, at the beginning of Parshas Bereishis, Rashi tells us that the Torah should have begun in Parshas Bo, because the main study of the Torah is going to be its mitzvos. So why should we have all these mitzvos? We could have just gotten the Aseret HaDibros, the Ten Commandments. Why did we need 613? And there are sort of two reasons that Chazal bring. The first reason is that Hashem wanted to give us opportunities to earn reward. The second reason is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to improve ourselves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us mitzvos in order that we should become more perfect human beings. Every person is born into this world with certain character traits and certain personalities. And they have a job to do in this world. And that job is to make those personality traits as similar to Hashem as possible. Hashem is kind, and so we need to be kind. Hashem is compassionate, we need to be compassionate. And the mitzvos are there to guide us in our behaviors to become as similar to Hashem as possible. How do we achieve this? We achieve this by first keeping the mitzvos. And if those mitzvos are no longer applicable, the study of those mitzvos will also help us refine and reflect on our own practices so that we can become the people who are as similar to Hashem. One of the main mefarshim who discussed this concept is going to be the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch was written in the Middle Ages. The author is anonymous. And he gives a number of reasons why he wrote the Sefer that are very relevant to us. The first, we shouldn't spend Shabbos studying frivolous things. We should actually be involved in Torah study. The second reason, which is that we are so exposed to ideologies that might not be aligned with Torah. The Sefer HaChinuch says by studying the Parsha, and studying the reason for mitzvos, how they're going to benefit us and change us, we're going to be able to shape our thought patterns so that we are more in line with what the Torah ideals are than with the secular culture that surrounds us. And third, we're going to be able to keep more mitzvos if we learn about them. In our Parsha, in Parshas Vayikra, the Sefer HaChinuch introduces another reason why we learn the reason for mitzvos. And he says that sometimes when we learn mitzvos, we give up. We don't understand what these mitzvos are talking about. For example, in Parshas Vayikra, we have the mitzvahs of the Ola and the Chatas, different karbanos and how they're brought, for what sins a person will bring a karban to Hashem. And we might think that we don't understand them, and we just want to abandon them and say there's no real point in learning them. So the Sefer HaChinuch says, no, he's going to write reasons about how these mitzvahs are meaningful so that we don't dismiss them and walk away from the Parsha, having given up and just relegating this to some foreign, very obtuse kind of teaching. Parshas Vayikra deals with what are the karbanos that are brought? What sacrifices does a person bring for different sins and to get close to Hashem? These karbanos, these sacrifices, were commanded to us as the Sefer HaChinuch to make us think. They are there to make us reflect, how is my life different than this animal's life? I was given physical impulses, that animal has physical impulses. But what makes me different than an animal? How can I distinguish myself from that animal? When we sin, we lower ourselves to the level of an animal, and so by bringing the sacrifice, we're trying to get back the holiness that we have lost. There's another category of karbanos, aside from animal sacrifices, that is called the karban mincha. The karban mincha is brought from flour and oil and lavona, which is frankincense, and it's burned. A part of it is burned on the mizbeach, and the rest is given to Kohanim to eat if it's not brought by Kohanim. So while the karbanos of animals are meant to evoke a very strong visceral reaction, we're meant to realize that we are composed of two parts. We're composed of a soul and a body. And as we sin, and just like the animal is burnt up and is no longer has remembrance in this earth, as long as we, says the Sefer HaChinuch, follow along with the ways of our animal instincts, we also are going to lose our eternity. We're going to lose any remembrance on this earth. The Karban Mincha doesn't evoke such strong reactions. We take something that we buy with money and we burn on the Mizbeach. So it's a little bit of flour, it's a little bit of oil. It doesn't have such a strong reaction. However, burning something, taking something that belongs to us that we worked hard for and burning it is going to create a small reaction. And that's the goal of the Karban Mincha, is to help us retrain our thinking to do tshuva and to realize that we are dependent on Hashem. In addition, the Mincha Karban is mainly a voluntary Karban brought as a thanks to Hashem or as a gift to Hashem. And when we give something to somebody else who's an authority, we're acknowledging that we are submissive to him. There are special Karban halachos that are related to the Karban Mincha. And they are that they cannot be made out of chametz. The flour that's brought on the Mizbeach cannot be made out of chametz. And the second, that we're not allowed to bring dvash. We're not allowed to bring sweet things with the karban. There are karbanos that have bread brought with them. The karban toda has lachme toda, breads that are eaten by the kohanim. But since the primary karban is that of an animal, and these breads are not burnt on the Mizbeach, they do not fall under this halakha that we are not allowed to have chametz offered on the Mizbeach as part of the Karban Mincha. The question is, why are these two items prohibited from being offered with a karban? To answer that question, we're going to need to look at what chametz and dvash represent. What do they symbolize? Chametz is the combination of flour and water that has been left to sit. If it didn't sit, if it got kneaded and then baked right away, it would be matzah. Chametz is the insertion of time into the process. Chametz is a lazy food, where matzah is a focus food. Chametz is sort of chill. It doesn't get things done. As we are trying to come closer to Hashem in His service by bringing this karban, we are emphasizing that our service of Hashem has to be one of matzah and never be chametz. Our service of Hashem has to be thoughtful, mindful, directed, and not passive and lazy. The Sefer HaChinuch questions his own theory. He says, I know that for the Shtei HaLechem, which is a karban mincha brought on Shavuos, it is always brought from chametz. So why is it okay to have this karban with chametz on Shavuos? He answers that individuals can never afford to have their service of Hashem be marked with laziness and a lack of focus. Only with the karban sibur, only when there's a community, could it be possible to have chametz introduced into a karban, because it's unlikely that an entire community is going to slip into apathy. However, this only happens once a year. It happens on Shavuos. The community has just spent the last 50 days on self-improvement and introspection as they have counted from Pesach through Sfiras HaOmer, and they are finally able to bring one karban that has chametz on Shavuos. But the rest of the time, they don't allow themselves, even as a community, to have any chametz enter into their karbanos. Each week, the community would bake 12 loaves of bread called the Lechem HaPanim, which they would put on the Shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash. And then they would leave it there for 1 week, and then they would offer it with Levona, and it was eaten by the Kohanim as an offering, as in following the laws of the Mincha. Those 12 loaves always needed to be matzah. They could never be chametz. Because as a community and as individuals, we could not let ourselves get into the habit of not being focused on our service of Hashem. And what's of dvash? Why can't we have sweet things with our karbanos? Isn't our service of Hashem supposed to be sweet and joyful? The answer really gets to the heart of the place of sweet and food in our lives. And the Sefer HaChinuch's answer is meant to help us mature our understanding of how we're supposed to relate to food. We all love sweet foods. When I eat something sweet, I want more of it. In fact, sweets, sugar, played an essential role in the American slave trade, because that was something that drove, once the Europeans tasted sweets, we couldn't stop. We needed to have more sweets. We were compelled to have sweets. Sweets are what are increasing our waistlines and making us unhealthier by the day. And this, says the Sefer HaChinuch, this is an issue. When we eat, we are not meant to eat to satisfy our taste buds. Our taste buds are transient. We taste it for a second, a moment on the lips and a lifetime on the hips. When we eat sweets, we forget the purpose why we are eating. It tastes good, and so we want it. But that's not what man's supposed to be about. Man is supposed to be a soul, and he's supposed to take care of that soul by maintaining his physical body. If he feeds his physical body without thought for his soul, then he's corrupting his eating. sweets are part of our diet that appeals really to our animalistic side because it doesn't serve any function. The main parts of our diet are supposed to be whole grains, they're supposed to be proteins, they're supposed to be fats. Sweets are just there for indulgence. Rav Schwab expounds upon this idea in his masterful work, Rav Schwab on Prayer. And he quotes the pasuk from Tehillim when he's talking about the phrase of achalta v'savata, and you should eat and you should be satisfied. And he says that this phrase is teaching us that that we eat in order to be satisfied and then we stop eating. It says, Yiru'as Hashem kedoshav ki'in machzer liriyav, which literally means, fear Hashem, you his holy ones, because those who fear him lack nothing. Rav Schwab looks at this pasuk and says, how can a person who is holy then be told to fear Hashem? Shouldn't fear of Hashem come first? And he says, he defines kadosh as the ability to abstain from that which is permitted. And so a person who is able to abstain, specifically, he says, to food, which is not necessary, is able to increase his Yiras Hashem. And he says explicitly, in fact, Ahavas Hashem and Yiras Shemayim are possible only if one does not fully satiate his desire for food and other earthly pleasures. Indulgences make us forget our connection to Hashem. It makes us focus on things which are trivial. And so when we're bringing a karban, which is bringing us close to Hashem, we cannot include that which is going to be something that is going to distance us. There's a final reason that is brought by the Sefer HaChinuch about why both honey and chametz cannot become part of a karban. And this idea, this theme, actually relates to the rest of the parsha as well, as we will see. So chametz and devash both have a character trait, a chemical property that is different than other foods. If I take flour and I take water and then I mix them together, the product that develops is going to be bigger than either of them alone. You take 5 pounds of flour and 6 cups of water and a little bit of yeast and you put it into a bowl and you walk away and come back an hour later, it has doubled. It's grown. Flour and water mixed together, chametz, always gets bigger than what it truly was to begin with. Dvash has the same thing happen to it. If you boil honey, it doesn't evaporate. It grows and crystallizes and makes bubbles, and it expands beyond what it was before. What's the problem with expansion? The problem is that arrogance doesn't allow us to get close to Hashem. A karban is there in order so we can connect to Hashem. But if in between me, my neshama, and Hashem is my ego, we're not going to be able to get through to actually connect and to become close and resemble Hashem. This idea is introduced to us at the beginning of the Parsha, before Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Jewish people about all the rest of the Karbanos. At the end of Sefer Shemos, the Ananei HaKavod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina, came down on the Mishkan, and Hashem's presence was between the Kerubim, and there was a cloud surrounding the Mishkan, and it was a holy place. And where was Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu was standing on the side, and he was saying, I am not going to go and insert myself into this very holy environment. In Sefer Bamidbar, Moshe Rabbeinu is called Anav Mikol Adam. Moshe was more humble than anyone else. Yes, he built the Mishkan. Yes, he spoke to Hashem, panim el panim. But he was not going to come into this holy environment unless he was explicitly asked, because he had the midah of humility, says Rabbeinu Bachaye. So at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, it says, Vayikra Hashem. Hashem calls to Moshe and says, Moshe, I want you. You need to come. You have now taught the Jewish people about the importance of the character trait of humility. The midah of humility is different than all other midos, and that's why it couldn't become part of a karban, because the midah of gaiva, arrogance, would negate any other opportunity to come close to Hashem. The Rabbeinu Bachaye emphasizes that for every midah in the world, there is an opposite. So we can have laziness on one end, and we can have impulsiveness on the other end. And our job is to try to synthesize the positives of both those character traits into a wholesome character trait. And that would be zrizus, alacrity, doing things with focus and enthusiasm. Anger is a terrible character trait, but so is being emotionally dead. So we synthesize that into passion. The opposite of gaiva is called shval ruach, to be submissive. And the synthesis of gaiva and being submissive is anava, is humility. But when it comes to that spectrum, between gaiva and shval ruach, between arrogance and submissiveness, we can't try to hit the middle ground. We need to lean more toward being shval ruach. We need to lean toward submissiveness rather than to arrogance. For this very reason, the Sefer HaChinuch tells us, we bring karbanos from domesticated animals rather than from wild animals, because it is better for us to resemble domesticated animals who are the prey rather than resembling the predators who are to only think about themselves. Arrogance, gaiva, our ego, removes our ability to connect to Hashem, and that is the goal of the karbanos. As we have seen, the halachos of karbanos are not random. They truly help us understand what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from us and how can we make ourselves better so that we can better our lives and fulfill our purpose in this world to become the best versions of ourselves. When it came to dvash and chametz, we learned three very important lessons. Number one, we learned that we need to be focused on our spirituality. We can't allow laziness and apathy to sneak in. If we see a mitzvah, we need to grab it in order that we can become close to Hashem at every moment. To quote Mr. Stephen Savitsky in his brilliant idea called Kansipur Moments, we need to be observant Jews. We need to observe when they're mitzvos and grab those opportunities to complete them before they become stale and chametz. Second, we learned that sweet things, while they feel good and taste good, might not be good for us, and we need to focus on growing rather than our own pleasure for pleasure's sake. Our body is there to serve us in order so that we can serve Hashem. And finally, we learned that an inflated self-importance, gaiva, arrogance, a focus on how we compare to the others around us, prevents us from connecting to Hashem and fulfilling our purpose in this world. Hopefully, we will take this week and we can implement these ideas into our lives on a practical level so that Sefer Vayikra can come to life. And we will be fulfilling the purpose of these mitzvos, which is to build up our merits, to build up our mitzvos in Olam Haba, and also to improve our character. Have a wonderful Shabbos.